Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Dalet. We're going to begin at the two dots, about 7-8 lines down from the top of Dalet Omud Aleph. We're learning today Li'ili Nishmas. I don't have the Hebrew names, but we're learning Li'ili Nishmas Baruch Lerman and Maurice Zadara. All the neshamas we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. And we pick up, quoting the Mishnah, again, about 8 lines down from the top, Dalet Omud Aleph, where we had said yesterday that there were certain individuals that were potter, they were not chayiv to go and do the mitzvah of Re'iyah, either going up and being present in the Azara for the Shlosh Regalim, and or also not having a chiyav for the Olas Re'iyah carbon that was brought on the first day of Yontif. Why? Why are these Vetumtum, the androgynous, the Chule, why are these individuals, the people with unclear genitalia? The Tumtum, we said, was a person whose genitalia was covered up with some sort of a membrane, and we're not sure if they're male or if they're female. And the androgynous was a person who has both Simone, Zachris, and Nakvis, had both mixed genitalia, what we call a hermaphrodite, the person who had both signs of female and male genitalia. It's unclear if he's a male, a female, or a birya bifnei atzmo, separate entity. Third type of a gender. So the Braisa expands further on this. Tanu Rabbanan. The Braisa tells us, the Pasuk tells us, just laying this in Mishpatim, Kol Shalosh Pamim Hashana Yireh Kol Zichurcha El Pnei Ha'adon Hashem. So what exactly does this Pasuk teach us? We'll darshan all the key words from it. So it says, Kol Zichurcha, which first we darshan the Zachar part, the Zachur, that's Lahotzi Etzanoshim, that's to exclude women. It tells us only men and not women. But it added on the word. It didn't say kol zachur. It said kol zichur cha. The end of the word, the extra zichur cha, at the end of the word, that's lahotzi, the tumtum, and the androgynous. And finally, it said kol zichur cha, that's a riboy. That comes to add something. Kol zichur cha is coming to be lirabos as hakitanim. Here we're saying that it comes to include the Kitanim. Zuchur Cha was to exclude women and the Tumtum and the androgynous, but when it said Kol Zuchur Cha, that's coming to be Marve to include the male children as well. Now, that's what the Braisa tells us. We'll dissect it. Omamar. We go back whenever we have Omamar. It means we go back and repeat part of the Braisa. The first part of the Braisa says Zahur, Lohotzi, Esanoshim. That came to exclude women. Now, Mora asks, why do we need a Pasuk to exclude women? After all, this is a mitzvah that says Ishez Managroma. This is a time dependent mitzvah, and women should be excluded by definition. And therefore, the Gemara asks, Zahur, Lohotzi, Esanoshim, Holomali Kra. Any mitzvah saseh that is a time dependent, all the negative ones with three exceptions, we mentioned this many times, two of pa'as zekoncha, two types of prohibitions against the man cutting the hair in the beard area and in the payas area, so those don't apply to women, and as well, the mitzvah for a kohen, not to become tummy, doesn't apply to a female kohen, a woman who is the daughter of a kohen. But otherwise, all the losaseis apply, whether they're time-dependent or not. Women aren't allowed to go and do malach on Shabbos. You could say, well, it's time-dependent mitzvah. They can do malach on Shabbos. Of course not. They can't. So all the losaseis are applicable to women with those three exceptions, but the time-dependent mitzvah, such as tvil and shofar, lulav and esrog, etc., so those are something that a woman is not obligated to do. So this mitzvah of Re'iyah, well, you can only do this on the Shlosh Regalim, so it should be a time-dependent mitzvah, and therefore, by definition, it's a mitzvah saseh shesman grama, and it should be that women are peturos. So why would I need a pasuk called Zechur originally to tell me that women are exempt from this mitzvah? So when he says, no, itzrich, I need it, because after all, we had the Hekish and Gzeirah Shavah yesterday from the din of Hakel to the din of Re'iyah. And just like by Hakel, it said, Anoshim Noshim V'taf, so too I would have said to include women because of this Gzei Shava from Hakel to Re'iyah. And therefore the Gemara says, Itzrich, you need it. So, could I dechaminach, I would have thought on my own, Nelef Re'iyah, Re'iyah, Me'Hakel. We had the word Re'iyah by Hakel. And then we have the word Re'iyah, of course, by the Olas Re'iyah. And therefore, I would have said, just like by Hakel, Malahala Noshim Chayavos, Avkan, here by Re'iyah, Noshim Chayavos. Therefore, Kamash Vilon, this Braisa tells us that the word called Zuchur, the part of the Zuchur Cha, was necessary to exclude women, even though normally they would be excluded. But here we had a reason to be marbed them, so it tells us, no, that the default position that women are excluded is still in effect. We go back to Darshan, the second part of the Braisa. So Amar Mar, again, Amar Mar usually refers to a piece. When we say Gufa, it refers to the entire Bryce or statement that we brought down. So Amar, we're going to darshi now. Why did it say kol zechur cha instead of the word kol zechur? So it says the word zechur cha is lahotzi tumtum v'androgynous. That was to exclude these two types of ambiguous genitalia individuals. Again, the tumtum who has a membrane covering it up, so we don't know he's definitely either male or he's female. We just don't know which one he is, and therefore every tumtum is different. So one tumtum could be a male technically, one tumtum could be a female technically. As opposed to an androgynous, which is both simone zachris and nakvus, he has both male and female genitalia, and is either a combination of both men and women, or he's a birya bifnei atzmo. So the word zichurcha, the addition to the word zichur, by adding on and making zichurcha, comes to exclude the tumtum and androgynous in the mitzvah of re'iyah. So Gemara says, we understand very well why the androgynous is needed to be excluded. Bishlama, you need a pasuk to tell me that the androgynous is not included. It's rich. You need that because, so could I take me, I would have said on my own, Howell, the islay tzad zachrus, he has zachrus and nachvus, so he definitely could be argued that he's a male. Granted, he may also be a female, but he definitely is a male, and therefore, l'chayim, I would have thought maybe that he should be obligated in the mitzvah of Riyah, this androgynous, and therefore, kamashulam, zuchur ha comes to exclude him. Great. Bishlama, we understand why it was needed to exclude the androgynous, because the birya b'fnei asu, because we count him as a separate entity. He's not a man and a woman. He's a third gender, if you wish. He's birya b'fnei asu. Now, while that is not accepted by everybody, that's the answer that the Gemara gives over here. However, elo tumtum sveikahu, the tumtum is either a man or a woman. We just don't know because there's some sort of a membrane covering up his genitalia. And we can't figure it out, but there is no suffix in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that this is either a man or this is a woman. So Elotumtum is Sveiko. Would you need a pasuk? Mitzrech Kro? Would you ever need a pasuk? Limute Sveika? To come and exclude a suffix? A man has to go up. A woman doesn't have to go up. We don't know what this tumtum is. I wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me that he's excluded. Only people that are vadai male would have to go up, and therefore this tumtum is not a vadai male. He's a sofek. I wouldn't need a pasuk to go and exclude him. So how come we said in the brisa that zuchurcha is lahotzi not only the androgynous but also to lahotzi the tumtum? That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaye. Abaye tells us, no, kisha beitzav mibachot. So his genitalia is covered up, but one can see that he has testicles. He has his beitzim. And therefore, this person is clearly a male. So I might have thought that such a male does have an obligation to go up. So the answer is, no, a tumtum doesn't have an obligation. That's why you need the word zuchurcha to come to exclude that. Now we go to the last part of the brisa, Amar Mar, we dissect that part, where it said, kol zuchurcha, where we said the word kol was actually a riboy, l'rabos is a ketanim, to come to include in the mitzvah male children under the age of bar mitzvah. Aydin Gemara says, wait a second, but not our Mishnah, the first Mishnah over here in Chagig, it said specifically that a katan is not included in the mitzvah. Our Mishnah had said, but not chutz mecheirish, shote v'katan. So a katan is not included. How can you tell me the word kol in kol zuchurcha is to be marba katan? Our Mishnah specifically said a katan is excluded. So again, Abai gives us the answer. I'm Abai Lokasha. It's not a steer over here between this Bryce is saying that the katan is included because of the ribuy of kol, and our Mishnah is stating that the katan excluded. It's not a kasha, lo kasha. Kam b'katan shigei l'chinuch, kam b'katan shalor gei l'chinuch. They're talking about two different types of katanim. You have a person who's a katan, he's on the age of bar mitzvah, but he's 12 years old. So he knows what's going on. He just hasn't yet reached the full stage of halachic maturity to make him into a gadol. But that type of a child, so our Brisa is telling us, call is coming to be marba to bring such a child. However, the two-year-old kid, the three-year-old kid, so he hasn't reached the age of chinuch yet, so the Mishnah said such a child is not obligated in being brought up for the mitzvah riyah. So therefore, the difference between the brisa, which includes him, call, and the Mishnah, which excluded him, was the age. They're both under the age of bar mitzvah, but the katan that has not yet reached chinuch, that's what the Mishnah is saying, he's excluded. And the katan that's reached the age of chinuch, that's the brisa that says he's included. Where it says, but wait a second, why would I need a pasuk to be including somebody that's included, but they're only including me, the Rabbanan? Even the Katan Shigei L'chinuch, he's not obligated in the Torah, the Rabbanan here. We had said previously, this is Rashi, it said that there's the obligation of the father, Rashi had also said the mother, to go and include this Katan in the mitzvah, but it's not a Din D'Oraisa. So if it's only Din D'Rabbanan, we certainly don't have a pasuk to teach us a Din D'Rabbanan. So Gemara says, you're right, 100%, and Hachanami, that's 100% correct. This pasuk, Kol Zichurcha, is not the real source. This is a Din D'Rabbanan. Ukra, this pasuk, Kol, is just an asmach to be alma. It's just a hint, an allusion to this din derabbanon, and the rabbis use this pasuk to remind people of the din. But that's not the source of the din itself. You're right; it's 100%. It's a din of chinuch midirabbanon. So then we're back to our original question. The elokra, the word call, what does it come to be marbe? Lamai also, what does it come to include? So now the Gemara says it's not a riboy, it's a miyot. This goes like the opinion of the Acherim. Acherim is often Rav Meir. The Acherim's opinion is that we have a detnan, that it's a Mishnah, but it's actually a Brisa, the Tanya. This Brisa says as follows. Acherim, the opinion of the Acherim, Rav Meir, is as follows. Hamakamitz, a person who's involved in gathering the tsoa of klovim. They used to use the tsoa of klovim to tan hides, and they used to actually use it to make klovim. It says because the kelevs didn't bark, the klovim didn't bark in Mitzrayim, so they were given certain rewards. It says la kelev tashlichuno. So basar basadet treifah. If you have a treifah animal, so you go and give it to the dog. You can sell it to the nachri, or you can give it to the dog. And likewise, the dogs were rewarded for kelev yecharatzlo shono because they didn't bark in Mitzrayim on the night that the yidden left Mitzrayim. So the dogs were rewarded that their tzoa is used in the making of the parchments, the cloth used for tefillin. So in any event, the people who were mekamets, they used the dogs. Actually, it's a very foul-smelling type of occupation. Mitzarif nechoshes, those that were involved in making copper. The smelting of copper was also a very foul-smelling type of a profession. And likewise, the bursi, the people that worked in general in a tannery, they were making the hides into usable leather. So all of these were very, very foul-smelling types of professions. Where else tells us that they sat in separate sections in the shul because nobody else wanted to sit next to them. So one reason was so that people would know where the tanners were sitting. So if you needed a tanner, you'd go to that section. But others explained, no, because nobody else wanted to sit in them. They had a very bad odor about them because of this work that they were doing with the leather, or the people that were working with the copper. So this was a very bad type of occupation in terms of the aroma, the smell. So all of these people, peturin minariya, the word kol zuchurcha, we'll see, is coming to exclude them. It's not a ribuy, it's a miyah, to exclude them from the mitzvah of riyah. Why? Mishum shenamer, because the pasuk says kol zechurcha, every male, that implies mishi yochol lalos im kol zechurcha yatzu elu she'en ruy lalos im kol zechurcha. When it said kol zechurcha are obligated to go up, it means anybody that can go up with all of Klal Yisrael. So only the people that are all going up together, but nobody wants to go up with these type of people who have these professions because of the bad aroma about them. So therefore, their bad smell, their bad fragrance, their noxious fragrance. So therefore, these people could not be considered kol zuchurcha, and therefore, by definition, the pasuk comes to exclude them. That's the purpose of the pasuk kol zuchurcha, to be motzi the noshim, who we might have thought were eligible because of the gzeirah shava, from hakel to ri'ya. We have to exclude the tumtum and the androgynous, and we're dealing over here with somebody that we might have thought would be obligated because either the beitzah were b'chutz for the tumtum or because they had simoni zachrus for the androgynous, and that's why we need a pasuk to exclude them. And likewise, these individuals with these professions who are otherwise full-fledged males, and we thought maybe they would come up. No, but since they can't come up with the rest of the klaisel because of their noxious aroma, so therefore they were excluded from the word kol. That's the drasha from kol zuchurcha. Now the Gemara says, we quote the Mishnah, Noshim v'avodim she'enu mishuchorim v'chule. We have additional people that are excluded. The Noshim and avodim she'enu mishuchorim, they don't go up as well. Now, Bishlom and Noshim, we already said, Kedamarit. We just had a moment ago, the drasha, why women are not included. We might have thought they should be included, but it's really a misassociation, says Man Groma, but we had the Xer Shava, and therefore it comes to teach us that no, they're not included. Fine. So that's why we understand Noshim are not included in the Mitzvah. Kidamarin, as we just learned, El Avodim, the Avodim, She'ena Mishuchrochim, Mishuchrorim, these Avodim, Minolim, how do we know that they are exempt? After all, they're males, so why shouldn't they be included? So Amar Ravuna, Ravuna tells us, because the Pasuk says, the end of this Pasuk, of Shalosh Reglim, Peomim, Bashano, Yireach, Kozuchurcha, Pinei, Ha'adon, Hashem. So it calls it Ha'adon Hashem. Omar Kwa El Pnei Ha'adon Hashem. Mi She'elo Elo Adon Echad Yotzezeh She'eshlo Adon Acher. This tells us that the only ones that have the obligation of Re'iyah are those that have Adon Echad. The only master is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to this Eved Kenani. So while everybody's master is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this person has another master, the Yid that owns him, and therefore Yeshlo Adon Acher, and the Pasuk excludes a Eved Kenani from the din of Re'iyah. Gemara questions, why do we need a pasuk? After all, and this is what I had said previously when we explained why avodim are excluded, let's check this out. Women and Eved have very much similar dinim in that they're chayiv in all the mitzvahs of Shabbat Torah, with the exception of the mitzvahs of Seishas Man Grama. So, kol mitzvah she'eino isha chayiv is bo'eino eved chayiv ba. So, women are excluded because it's a mitzvah of Seishas Man Grama, and therefore, an Eved should be excluded because this is a mitzvah of Seishas Man Grama. Eved has the same dinim as a woman in terms of his obligation. So, therefore, Eved should also be excluded from the mitzvah because women are excluded from the mitzvah. Why do I need a separate pasuk El Pnei Hadon Hashem to exclude the Eved? Because Eved and women are comparable because the Gomar law Misha, because you have a famous Gerushava that compares the Eved and the women in terms of their obligations. Rashi tells us what this Gerushava is in Dira Masu law. He says Ksiv. It says in one place, the full pasuk is v'kosav law. That's all the Rashi says. But sefer krisus v'nosam yadah, when you give a woman a get, you have to put it into her hand, v'kosav law, you have to write it for her. And it says, by a shivcho kinanis v'hafdei lo nikdah, so she was not redeemed for money, ohu pasha lo nitan law. Nor was she given a get of shichror. So we see the comparison between the woman and the eved. Fine. So therefore, I already know that a full-fledged Eved is not included in the din of Ria because women are excluded. So why do I need a special pasuk to tell me that they are excluded? Why do I need the pasuk Pnei Adon Hashem? Why is that necessary? So I'm a Ravina. Ravina says, no, it's necessary. And this is what we had a few days ago. This was where Ravina said his din. Lo nitzucha elo misha chatsu Eved v'chatsu ben chorin. This is like the original Mishnah Rishona that Ravina brought down, that you need the Mishnah to tell me that a person who's a chetzi Eved, who is also a chetzi ben chorin, I might have thought that the chetzi ben chorin part is going to obligate him in the mitzvah Ria, so it comes to teach us our Mishnah that a person who's a chetzi Eved, chetzi ben chorin, is not obligated in the mitzvah Ria. And I'll show you that this is correct. If you look at a careful analysis of the words of the Mishnah, the Gemara says, Daikonam, you can make a diuk, diktani, in the words of the Mishnah, where it said, Noshim, and it said, not Avodim, it said, Va'avodim she'eno mishuchrorin. It said specifically, slaves, Avodim, that weren't freed. Now, what does it say over here? My she'eno mishuchrorin. Why does it have to add that extra part? Elaim, if you're going to tell me, she'eno mishuchrorin klal, that they're Avodim that are not freed at all, so then just say, list the Avodim Stama. The word Avodim means Avodim that aren't freed. So why did the Mishnah have to add on the seemingly unnecessary words, Seina Mishuchwarin? It wasn't coming to exclude an Eved that wasn't freed at all. Elolav, it's talking about Seina Mishuchwarim Legamre. It's a Chetzi Eved, Chetzi Ben Chorim situation, partially freed, but partially still an Eved. And mind you, what's that? So that's Misha Chetzi Eved, Chetzi Ben Chorim. Oh, that's what you need it for. Ravina is going like the Mishnah Rishonah, like we explained. Ultimately, Beis Hillel was molded to Beis Shammai that such a person is in fact going to be forced, the second master. We had said the case where Reuven and Shimon owned the Eved, Reuven freed him, so the part that was previously owned by Reuven now belongs to the Eved, that half of him is free, but the part that's owned by Shimon still belongs to Shimon. And we had said previously that Beis Hillel said, so we can have him work on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday for the master, and on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, he's working for himself. And Beis Shammai said, Tikantem es Rabbim, so that works out great for the master, but if that didn't work out great for the Eved, who's he supposed to marry? He can't marry a shivcha, he can't marry a free girl, and he can't be unmarried. It's not the way the world was created, and therefore the owner, the other half owner, Shimon, is forced. We give him a shtar so he doesn't lose his money, but we give him, force him to go and free the Eved. So that was the Mishnah Achrona. But we said Mishnah Rishona lo zozim v'koma. So this is Ravina telling us over here. That's where our Mishnah is teaching us the Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin. Fine. Then we quote the Mishnah where it said the other group of people that had a physical infirmity that physically could not go up to the Azara, to the Harabayis, they were also excluded from the Mitzvah. We gave the examples, Vachiger, Vasuma, a person who's lame, a person who's blind, a person who's sick, Chola, and Azokin, a person who's so old, he's infirm, he's unable to go walk up to the Harabayis, the Azara. So where do we know all this from? Tanur Rabbanan. So the Braisa teaches us, Regalim, we already had this drasha the other day as well, Regalim teaches us Prat Lebali Kabin. That comes to exclude people that have a wooden leg. They have a prosthetic on their foot. They never had an amputation. So anybody with an amputation is excluded from the word Regalim. You have to have feet. We play on the word regalim to raglayim, so you have to have feet in order to go up. That was one drasha, but then we brought down the other drasha, the other day, Dover Acher. This goes according to the opinion that pa'amim was to teach us the balei kabim, and regalim was to teach us people that can't walk. So this is Dover Acher. This is the drasha over here. Regalim comes to exclude the fact that it's a play on the word raglayim, prat l'chiger, l'chol, l'sum, l'zokain. It's these four people, the person who's lame in his legs, the person who is sick, I don't know why they changed around the order over here, I'm assuming the person who's blind, or the zokin, and the elderly, infirm person. So these four people, as well as Lusha'en Yochel Lalus Baraglav, as well as anybody else that can't physically walk up because of some impairment in their feet. So all of these people are excluded from the din of Re'iyah. Gemara says, what was the ribuy over here? The last thing, the Eshen Yochel Lalos Baraglov, who's that coming to be? Marbev, Eshen Yochel Lalos Baraglov, the Suya Mai, who's coming to include in this additional din? So Amar Rava, Rava answers, La Suya is coming to include, and we turn to Dalet on the days, it's coming to include over here, Mifanke, people that are Mifunokim. As Rashi says, the top Rashi, She'en Holchim below Mino, people that can't go up without a shoe. Now, nobody walks in the streets without a shoe. He said, even on Tisha B'Av, if a person doesn't have appropriate footwear that he can wear on Tisha B'Av, he's allowed to put on his leather shoes while he's walking in the streets, so the Kohen shouldn't make fun of him, and he shouldn't hurt himself, so he just takes off his shoes when he gets into the city, when he gets into the shul, his home, in an area where it's not embarrassing to walk without shoes on. But there are Mifunakim, they're very fussy people, that never walk without a shoe. Dein Odom Nichnas L'Harabayis Bin Runalo, but a person who is wearing shoes is also to go into the Harabayis. You have to take off your shoes. So here we're dealing with a person that can't go up to the Azara. We're dealing here with a person who's so fussy, such a mafunuk, that he can't go up to the Harabayis because he can never go without shoes, and you're not allowed to wear shoes on the Harabayis. How do we know you're not allowed to wear shoes on the Harabayis? And the pasuk tells us, Dilsiv, ki savo. Now, this is a pasuk from Yeshaya. Now, we don't really learn out the din from Yeshaya, but this is really an asmacht over here. It says, Ki savo le'eros panai, when you come up to go and see me on the Shloshu Golim. So Yeshaya tells Klai, so you're doing all these sins. Mi bikesh zos miyedchem remos chatzirai. Who asked you to come here, you people that walk in my courtyard, in my chatzir, with your shoes on? Because it uses the lashon over here of remos chatzirai, and remos is a lashon of stamping and walking with shoes. So therefore, we see from here this idea that a person is not allowed to go up to the Harabayis with shoes on. Now, the real source of this din, it says, Shal Nalcha Me'al Raglecha, that you're not allowed to go and wear shoes in the Harabayis area, but this over here is more of a specific pasuk because it tells us in this situation, Le'ra'os, that's why they use this asmachta from Yeshaya rather than the real pasuk from Chumash. In any event, this is the source over here for the extra people that can't go up to the Harabais, it's referring to Mifunok. Now the Gemara says, Tana, we learned in the following Braisa, likewise, Ha'orel v'hatame peturim in Ariyah. Now these weren't included in the Mishnah, one of the first Tosos on Daf Beis Omid Aleph, explains that when we say the word chutz, it doesn't necessarily always mean to exclude every possible exception. There are rules involved, and sometimes other things aren't included. This wasn't included there, because this is referring to not an individual, but it's referring to a characteristic of a certain individual. In any event, the Orel and the Tameh are peturin minaria. Also, in addition to what was mentioned in our Mishnah, also, the Braisa tells us that a person who's uncircumcised, an Orel, and a person who's Tameh, they're also not obligated in the mitzvah of Re'iyah. So more says, Bishlama Tameh, it's perfectly clear, Bishlama, it's perfectly clear that the person who's Tameh is potter for the mitzvah Re'iyah. Why is that? That's it, because the Pasuk says, Uvasa Shoma, Vavesu Shoma. The Pasuk tells us that when you come up to the Beis HaMikdash, you'll bring your korbanos. So that implies somebody can go up to the Beis HaMikdash is an obligation to go and bring the korbanos. If you can't go up to the Beis HaMikdash because you're Tameh, then you have no such obligation. So, Koshi, Yesh no Beviyah, Yesh no Beviyah, Koshi, Ain no Beviyah, Ain no Beviyah. If somebody is able to go up to the Beis HaMikdash, the Yazorah, he's not Tameh, so then such a person has the obligation to go bring his Olas Re'iyah. But if somebody is incapable of going up there, he is Tameh, so he doesn't have an obligation to go send it with somebody else. He can send it with a Shaliach, but he has no such obligation. It's only those people that can come up have the obligation. Kosha Eino Beviyah, if he can't come up because he's Tameh, Eino Bevah. Oh, very good. Bishlama the Tameh. El or El. But the person who never had a bris milah, for whatever the reason, Minol, and how do we know that he also has no obligation to bring the Olas Re'iyah? Where it says, this goes in accord with whose opinion? Ha'amani Rabbi Akiva. This opinion that the Orel doesn't have an obligation to go up is in accord with Rabbi Akiva's opinion. What did Rabbi Akiva say? That he was demarde lo Orel. He was including the Orel same way Kitame, like a Tame person. He held that the Orel had a tumma about him, a concept of tumah about him, just like a tame person has tumah and can't go into the azara. So to an RL can't go into the azara according to Rabbi Akiva. Where did he get this from? Because we learned in the Braisa, the Tanya, Rabbi Akiva Omer Ish Ish. He's marvel from the pasuk which tells us Ish Ish Mizera Aaron, a person who's a kohen. And he has either tzaraz or he has a discharge ozov. Ba'kodeshim lo yochal, he's not allowed to eat kodeshim. Adeshi yitar, until he becomes tar. Va'nogeya b'chol tomei nefesh o ish asher teitzei mimenu shilchu azara. And this includes as well other people also have the same din. Now, this pasuk, ish ish, Rabbi Akiva says is l'rabo, says to Aro. The X word ish, it could have just said ish mizera aron. Why did it say ish ish? So that's to be marba, also the RL, a person that wasn't able to have a bris mila, and therefore, as Rashi says, shehu kit tame shlo yochal truma im koinu. This comes to teach us that he's not any truma, and he's obviously considered to be a tame person, and therefore can't go up to the Har Bayis, and therefore that's why this Braisa goes in accord with Rabbi Akiva's opinion that the oral is like the tame, both of them are Paturim and Aria because of the concept of Koshi Yeshno Bevia, Yeshno Bavor, Koshi Eino Bevia, Eino Bavor. Tanur Banu, we learned another Braisa. Some of this we had learned previously, and this is just a reiteration of that. Tame, a person who's tame is Paturim Aria. Why? Where does a person who's tame Paturim Aria? That's what we just said. They'll say, Vos Shama Vesu Shama, Koshi Yeshno Bevia, Yeshno Aria, Behavor. So that's what we just learned in the first Braisa. And then we had learned earlier also on Daf Beis, Rav Yochanan ben Davoy, Omer Mishum. Now we had the Gersa of Rav Yehuda, really should be Rav Yehuda with Tema we had said over there. He had added on, and he said, Suma b'yachas mi'enav, a person who's blind only in one eye. The person who's blind in two eyes can't go because he physically can't go up there. But even the person who physically could go up there, he's only blind in one eye. Nevertheless, Suma b'yachas mi'enav, Rav Yochanan ben Davoy, he said the name of Yehuda ben Tema, Potu minari is exempt from the mitzvah of Riyah. Why is that? Because we had a play on the words yira, and we pronounced it yeirah. So the words are as follows. Kiderech shebo liros, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyocho looks forward to seeing you come up to be olerego, kach bo liros, so he wants to, quote, be seen, Kaviyocho, by the people coming to be olerego. So yira, yeirah, is a play on that word. And as we pointed out previously, there's an anthropomorphism that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we brought down a pasuk that said HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Ene, his eyes, so ma bo liros b'shtei enav, af leiros b'shtei enav. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees you with kaveyocho, both of his eyes. Again, we said it's also to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu has eyes, also to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a body. It's one of the Yikarim of the Rambam, the Yud Gimel Midos of the Rambam, in terms of basic fundamental principles of Yadus. So just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaveyocho has two eyes, not really, Kaviyachal has two eyes, so too, we have to have two eyes in order to be involved in this mitzvah, Yira Yira, and therefore, the opinion of Rav Yochanan ben Davoy, in the name of Rav Yehuda ben Tema, was that a Suma B'yachas Me'enav is not obligated. Then we say, furthermore, Rav Huna, Kimati Lahaikra Yira Yira, when he read this pasuk, Bachi, he began to cry. Why did he cry? Because he understood the depth of depravity that Klai Yisrael had unfortunately fallen to, and it made him very sad, and he cried. Amar, he said, Evet, Shirabu Metzabalo Leroso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much wants to see us, it says, he can't wait to see us, so to say, on the Shlosh Regalim, and yet, we have done so much to be Yisrachik Mimeno, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want to have anything to do with you. It's a terrible thing, because the default position is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants to see us, and yet we've been so bad, so depraved, we've acted in such a negative way, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't tolerate being with you. The pasuk says, the pasuk that we had from Yeshaya a few minutes ago, Ki savo leroz panai, when you're coming up to be olerego, mi bikeisos miyedchem, remos chatzira, you go, and you trample my courtyard over here, I don't want you to come. Now, look how far we've sunk, and this was what made Rav Huna cry. Originally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to see us so badly. And now we've never done so many things so terrible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, get out of my sight. I can't stand to see you. Similarly, Rav Huna, when he reached another pasuk, he would cry. He reached this pasuk, he also cried. What is this pasuk? It says, V'zavach to shlomim v'yachal to shom. The pasuk tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I look forward to you coming up to the Azorah, coming up to Yerushalayim, and you go bring all sorts of korban shlamims, and you'll eat them over there. Ah, the Shlosh Megalim, we bring our Shalmei Chagiga, and we bring our Shalmei Simcha. Wonderful. And nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want you. Evich Rabu Mitzap, Alechol HaShulchano. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, looking forward so much to inviting us to his table, and we should bring korbanos that we can eat from. Nevertheless, Yisrachi, and he says, now I don't want you here at all. Again, the pasuk that we just brought down from Yeshayah, the pasuk right before that said, Tersiv Lomo Liro Zivchechem, Yomar Hashem. Hashem says, why do you bring me all these korbanos? I don't want them. What are you doing over here? You've lost your right, so to say, to come. So both of these psukim made Rav Huna very, very sad. Rabbi Elazar similarly, Kimot Laikro Abachi. When Rabbi Elazar read the following pasuk, he also felt terrible. It's a pasuk from the end of Bereishis, Sefer Bereishis, where it says that the brothers cried when Yosef revealed himself to them. When Yosef tells his brothers, "Ani Yosef, Odovichai," so he is silencing the brothers. They had nothing to say to him because now they realize that what they did was so terribly wrong, and they had absolutely nothing to say to him. So, Rabbi Elazar cried when he heard this. He says, "Uma tochacha shel bas avadam kach a tochacha." The reproof that Yosef gave to his brothers, "No, why did you sell me?" That's basically what he was saying, and they had no answer to that. So, if that's just a rebuke from a bas of Adam, that's from Yosef Hatzadik to his brothers. So, the tochacha shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu alachas kama v'kama. How much more so at 120, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, hey, what in the world did you do with your life? So that type of tochacha, we're really going to be silent from, and that's what made Rabbi Elazar cry. If the tochacha from a boss of Adam could make us silenced and have absolutely nothing to say, oy vavoy, when we get the tochacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly, Rabbi Elazar, we reach the following pasuk, he also cried. Kibatil Aikra Bachi, he also cried. Now this pasuk is a very famous pasuk when Shaul HaMelech wants to find out if he's going to win, be victorious in the battle against the Plishtim. So Shmuel, who'd normally be the Navi that he would go to, had just died. So he didn't have Shmuel. The Ur V'Tumim didn't answer Shaul. There were no other Navim that he could go to. So he went to the Mechashefa from Ein Dor, and he asked her to go bring up Shmuel HaNavi from the dead. And she did it, the famous mice over there, in the end of Shmuel Aleph. And it said in that pasuk, Vayomer Shmuel HaShaul, Shmuel is brought up from the dead, and he tells the Shaul, Loma hirgastani lahalo susi. Why did you trouble me? You gave me this very big disturbance to go and bring me up. Why did you do this? Now, what was the disturbance over here? Shmuel Hanavi is, so to say, being rejudged again by being brought up. And that was a tremendous fear in Shmuel. Now, if Shmuel HaTzadik, the great Shmuel, is compared to Moshe and Aaron, if he was terrified of the Yom HaDin, so Nebuch, Rabbi Elazar cried, Allah has kama v'kama, how much more so we should be terrified of the Yom HaDin. Now, what exactly was Shmuel worried about? Shmuel, what was Shmuel, Hayom Misyari min HaDin? What made him, Loma hir gastani lalo so see, what made Shmuel so concerned? Tersiv, because the pasuk tells us as well, at the end of Shmuel Aleph, where it tells us, Batomer Isha, this witch, this Machashefa of Ein Dar, tells Shaul, Vatomer Haisha El Shaul, Elohim. Now this is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is a man, Elohim, that's why I'm pronouncing the word Elohim and not Elohim. Elohim Reisi Olim. With Shmuel, I also see another man because of this plural of Elohim, a plural Lashon, so I see Shmuel coming up and also another man. We'll see this other man in a moment, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. So it says, El Shaul Ra'isi Olim, I see you both coming up, Olim, Trey Mashma. It implies two people over here. Elohim and Olim implies two people. Who are the two people? Chai Shmuel, Vida, who's the other one? One was Shmuel, obviously, that was, she was bringing him up. Who was the other one? The Ozal Shmuel. Shmuel had went, but Asiel Moshe Rabbeinu by day. Shmuel brought Moshe Rabbeinu with him. Why Badafka Moshe Rabbeinu? Amalei, Shmuel said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Dilma Chas V'Shalom Ladino Mizbaina. Why are they bringing me up over here? Maybe they're coming to judge me again, and I need you to be my defense attorney. Kum Badoi, please stand by me, because the Leka Milsa, the Chasavta B'Araisa, there is nothing that was written in your Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, that I didn't fulfill. The law, Kiyamtia. There's nothing written in the Holy Torah, your Holy Torah, that I didn't fulfill. The Mefarshim bring down an interesting idea. and you can see this in Ben Yoyada amongst other places, that Bedavka Shmuel was concerned that the one sin that he knew that he had done was when he was 2 years old, he was Mor Halacha Lefnei Eli Rabbo. Eli had asked a certain question, who was allowed to go and shecht the Karban Pesach? There were no Kohanim easily available, and Shmuel Hanavi said, anybody can go shecht, the shechting doesn't have to be done by the Kohanim. And Eli told him, you're right, but you're Mor Halacha Lefnei Rabbo, and you're Chayav Misa. And of course, Shmuel's mother Chana goes and begs Eli that he should be saved, and he's given another 50 years of life. So Shmuel said, I was once more Halacha de Rabbo, so maybe I'm being held accountable for that. But you, Moshe Rabbeinu, allowed Eldad the Meidad to be more Halacha in front of you by being Misnade. And Yeshua said, Rebbe, Kiloyim, go and wipe them out because they're being Misnade in front of you. They're being more Halacha de Rabbo, and you accepted them, so you'll be my great defense attorney to accept me over here as well. So that's a very interesting idea from the Ben Yoyada and others. The Menachem Eshev Nefesh adds over here that how do we know that this was Moshe Rabbeinu that was being brought up? Where do we see this from the Pasuk? So he brings down En Elohim Ela Moshe. The word Elohim over here is a reference to Moshe. Shenemar Rei Nesaticha Elohim Lefaro. So that Pasuk refers to Moshe Rabbeinu as Elohim, and that's what the Menachem Eshev Nefesh says over here. This Elohim is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. We go back to the Gemara, another Amora, when he read another Pasuk, also cried. Rav Ami, when he read the Pasuk, was he two Pasukim that he read? When he reached the following Pasuk, he cried. This is a Pasuk from Eicha, where it says, Yitain be'ofar piyu, will put dirt in his mouth, and ulai, maybe, yesh tikva, there will be hope. If we do tshuva, if we humiliate ourselves, if we subjugate ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, subordinate ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe there will be tikva for us, maybe there will be hope. And Rav Ami cried when he heard this. He says, Omar, kulei hai, we go so far to put dirt in our mouth, and ulai only, yesh tikva? And this made him cry, realizing how far we had gone. Similarly, Rav Ami, ki moti l'haikra bachi, reached the following pasuk from Tzafanya. So he cried when he read this pasuk. This pasuk said, Bakshu tzedek, go and look for tzedek, for righteousness. Bakshu anova, look for humbleness. Ulai, maybe, tisosu b'yom hafashem. Maybe that will get you out of the, will turn you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger on that day. And Rav Ami cried when he heard this. He says, Omar kulei hai, person is seeking tzedek, and he's seeking anova, and only maybe, kulei hai, but ulai, only maybe, will it turn away the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So that made him very sad, and he cried. Similarly, Rav Asi, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, first generation Amorim in Eretz Yisrael, we find them throughout Shas, Rav Asi, Kimot Elayikra, Bachi. When Rav Asi reached the following Pasuk, this is a Pasuk from Amos, he cried like Rav Ami cried, because it was a similar idea. And he said, the Pasuk in Amos tells us, Sinura, you should hate wickedness, Ve'el Butov, and you should love goodness, Vatzigu Bashar Mishpat, and you should go and try and set up gates of justice. However, ulai, if you do all that, maybe, Yechanan Hashem Elokei Tzvakos. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find favor in you and allow you to continue to live. So therefore, Rav Asi cried. He said, Koli hai, we do all these things. We hate evil. And we look to set up justice and do good. And maybe, only then, Kulei hai, ulai, only then, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find favor in our eyes. So again, that's what made him cry. Similarly, Rav Yosef, when Rav Yosef reached the following Pasuk with Mishlei, he cried as well. Because the Pasuk says, V'yesh nispeh below mishpat. There are those that fail. Nispeh means that they fall, and there's no reason to do so. So Amar, so Rav Yosef said, Mi ikah da'azo below zimne? Is it possible that somebody could actually fall, die? Nispeh means to die, essentially. He could die below Mishpat, not at the right time, without justice? Does that really happen? So he said, in. And that's what made him cry. He says, yes, sometimes there can be a person dying, quote, below Mishpat. What exactly does this mean? He heard the Rabbi Barabai, Havi Shriach Gabei Malach HaMavis. And this was learned out from Rabbi Barabai, who was in regular company with the Malach HaMavis. At the end of Tainus, we brought down various Amorayim that were Nebuch going to be taken away, so they were scared of the Malach HaMavis. So we had, for example, Rav Saorim, who was the brother of Rava, said to Rava, why don't you talk to the Malach HaMavis? You're good friends with him. The Malach HaMavis would associate and talk with various Tanoim and Amoraim at various times. So Rabbi Barabai was such a great Talmud Chacham, such a great Gadol, that he was Shliach Gabi Malach HaMavis. He and the Malach HaMavis used to have conversations. And one time, the Malach HaMavis told him about this event. Tosus points out that this occurred much earlier. In the bottom Tosus, he says, the Mesapim Mashi'iru lo kfar. Kfar, that the Malach Mavis told him, oh, this story happened many, many years ago, because Rav Bibi Bar Abaye lived after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, and as well after the time of Oso Ish, Yoshka himself, which his story is about. So what happened over here? This is a censored Gemara. Tosus points out on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. If you go look over there, it doesn't have the full story. And if you look in the Chesronos HaShatz, he brings down the full story over there. In any event, what was that story that the Malach HaMavetz told Rav Bibi Bar Abaye? Amalei L'Shluche, the Malach HaMavetz told one of his angels that was working on his behalf, Zil Isali, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's time for Miriam. Now, it just said Megadla. It didn't say Megadla Seyar Nishaya. The Malach HaMavetz just said Megadla, and he misunderstood. He thought he wanted him to bring a different Miriam Magdalene, Mary Magdalene. He thought he wanted him to bring Miriam Megadla Dardiki, the one that raised children. So he misunderstood. So the Malach HaMavetz really wanted to bring Zil Isili Miriam Megadla Sarah Nishaya, although he didn't spell it fully out. And instead, this Malach, at the behest of the Malach HaMavetz, went to Ozal, and Isili brought back to the Malach HaMavetz a different Miriam Magdalene, Miriam Megadla Dardiki, the one that raised the children. No, the Malach HaMavetz said, no, you brought her here, so that's it, we'll just take her. So when he brings the wrong Miriam Magdalene to him, so the Malach HaMavetz says, Amalei, says to the Shaliach Malach, Ano, Miriam, Megadla Sarah Nishaya, Amiloch, I told you to bring that one. Now, the Mefarshim explained, he didn't say it clearly, and therefore, he brought the wrong one. But in any event, Amalei, so the Malach said to the Malach HaMavetz, Ihoch, Yahadri, okay, if I made a mistake, I'll bring her back. I'll bring her back to life. So the Malach HaMavetz says, no, once she's here, we'll keep her. Amalei, ho. Since you already brought her, by Sisa, since you brought her here, Leve Lemunyana, she'll go towards our count of the people that we're supposed to bring out of this world into the next world. No, Elahechi Yochot Law, how was he able to go and take her? This Shaliach, the Malach HaMavetz, this Malach, how was he able to be successful in bringing the wrong Miriam, Miriam Megadla Dardiki, instead of Miriam Megadla Sarah Nishaya? How was he able to be successful in doing so? So the Malach said, Havas Nikita Misorabiyada, she was holding some sort of an ud, like a poker, a spit in her hand that was red hot. Vahava Koshagra, she had stuck it into the oven for the purpose of, and we turn to Heyamun Aleph, Umecharia Tanura, she was going, and Rashi says, Mechabedis is a tanur, she was going and raking the coals out of the oven, so it was red hot because it had been in the hot oven, and Shekalta V'anchasa Agaba Dekara, and by accident, she let the poker touch her foot, and it burned her. The Menachem Esh of Nefesh says that the Malach did this in order that he should be able to take her, and therefore, Kodcha v'Yisra Mazla, she burnt herself, and as a result, her mazel became bad, and therefore the Malach HaMavetz's agent was able to go and bring her from this world and take her and kill her. Vaisisa, and he was able to go and bring her. Fine. Amalei Rabibi l'Barabaya l'Malach HaMavetz, the Rabibi says to the Malach HaMavetz, Islechu Rishusa, do you have permission, L'mei V'Hachi, to do what you just did? You took the wrong person. So Amalei, so the Malach HaMavetz tells him, yeah, we can. After all, this pasuk that you just cried about, the locus of yesh nisbe, sometimes there's people that can die below mishpat without justice. So Amalei, Rabbi Barbaya says to the Malach HaMavetz, wait a second, v'achsiv, dar olech v'dar ba, that every person comes in their time and not a minute before, not a minute afterwards. So each generation comes when they're supposed to, but not before then. So the Malach HaMavetz says, no, that's the wrong understanding. Omar, dorina luhu ana, I'm allowed to go and take anyone with me. As Rashi says, Any most one lishomer hamesim shishmo duma elam is gagalin imi bishotim biolam ashi ismalu shnosov v'hu dekari dar. Says yes, this says that the generation has to come to an end, but it doesn't mean that I hand them over to duma. The ra'ina lu ana, I take these nebuch, these poor souls that died prematurely, ad demilu dar until their time comes, and only then v'hadam ashlimna leila duma. Then I hand them over to the malach called duma, which is another aspect, if you wish, of the death process. So that's what I do. Therefore, the fact that we're taking early, that doesn't ruin anything. Amalei, Rabbi Bibi said to the Malach HaMavetz, so, bottom line, Shene, the years, my avatar, those extra years that person wasn't on this world, what do you do with those extra years? There was a certain life, so to say, that was given to this world. You took it away. So the Malach HaMavetz says to him, again, very esoteric Gemara, not easily understood on a simplistic level. Omar, he says, there's a young Talmud Chacham, the Mavir B'Mile, that is very deserving. He's always going out of his way to help other people. It's Rashi says, Mavir Amidosov. He's always looking the other way. He says, Nishka Fairlich, not so terrible what you did to me. I'm just going to not be upset by what you did. So such a Talmud Chacham, Mosifna Lehu Leh, Bahavi Chilufe. I give him those extra years. He's deserving of those extra years. And that's what I do with those extra years. Again, that's something that we can easily understand, albeit certainly a fascinating Gemara. I would also add an interesting note that today, when I'm dictating this, it's Zayin Adar Rishon, and that is the yard site of Moshe Rabbeinu. He died in a Poshet year, and it's commemorated, the yard site, by many Chaver Kaddishas on Zayin Adar of Adar Rishon. So it's interesting that we mention Moshe Rabbeinu's name, especially in regard to him being a defense attorney for Shmuel HaNavi, as he always is for all of Klal Yisrael. So our learning is Lili Nishmas, the great Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest man who ever lived. And by the way, he also did get the name of one of the two people we learned today for Maurice Zatter. We also learned for Baruch Lerman. Baruch Lerman's name was Baruch Mordechai ben Avram Moshe HaKohen. He's the father of both Yaakov and Moshe Lerman. Moshe was a regular in the Daf Yomi Shif for many, many years with us. And the Mirtz Hashem, all the Nishans we learned for should have an aliyah from our learning. With this, we conclude today's share.